right now. Welcome back onto the program. Our buddy Wes Mitchell of Gamecock Central. Always appreciate his time talking Carolina football and recruiting and more. How are you, sir?
Good. How's it going, gentlemen?
Doing all right. Let's start first, Wes, with some recruiting news. We'll get into a few Gamecock football thoughts. But a big get yesterday for the University of Tennessee as an in-state product, Trey Smith, who many consider to be, if not the best overall recruit in the country this year, certainly perhaps the best offensive lineman in the country, has committed to the Volunteers. Let's start there and getting your take on what that means for Tennessee and what you know of Trey, and then blend into the conversation what kind of impact that could have on the Gamecocks as they continue to pursue T.J. Moore from up in Charlotte, who Tennessee has been very high on as well.
Yeah, you know, I think for Tennessee, that's obviously a big get for them in that they're able to, you know, keep a home state kid at home. That's something that I think you'd say they've struggled with a bit in this class. And obviously Clemson's had a lot of success in the state of Tennessee here recently. So a big get for them because I think really in recruiting, a lot of times the perception can be the reality. And the perception to me is that Tennessee program has really been kind of in a little bit of a free fall, I guess, just as far as the perception of that program goes right now. You know, as far as T.J. Moore goes and sort of the effect on him, you know, I don't know if there's a direct effect. I know that Tennessee met with T.J. Moore yesterday and had a long conversation with him and his dad. I believe that was their in-home visit for him, you know, let him know they still want him. And I think that it appears Tennessee wants him as more of a guard prospect as opposed to a tackle. So, you know, with Tennessee also losing a couple of offensive linemen here recently as well from their commitment class, it seems to me like they're still going all in on T.J. Moore.
Wes, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth there because Tennessee, I don't know if I'd call them a free-falling program, but it's been they've been taking some punches from all around the country because of, you know, the underachieving, if you will, quote, underachieving at 8-4. That's not so bad. But not living up to the expectations this year. And because of all the injuries and because of not living up to expectations and because of losing to Vanderbilt like they did, this is absolutely huge for Butch Jones.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of recruiting is based on perception and, you know, are you moving up or are you moving down? And I think with Tennessee, it's sort of been a situation where, you know, I don't think it's just the 8-4 record in a vacuum, but it's the fact that they very much were in place and everything was in place for them to win a very down SEC East. Still, we're not able to get that done. Then, you know, one of your top players in Jalen Hurd just transfers out in the middle of the year, which to me, you know, is just, it looks strange.
It
regardless
does.
Of the reasons behind it. It looks weird for a guy to not even stick it out to the end of the year. And I think there's a perception, possibly even a reality, that sort of underneath the surface, there it just feels like there's things bubbling under the Tennessee program that is affecting the success of that program. And I think that's something that Butch Jones is going to have to continue to deal with. And I don't think he helps himself by, you know, making comments like, you know, this group won the life championship, because as cynical as fans are as a whole these days, he had to know that was something that was just going to get him torn apart as far as the more outspoken members of his fan base go.
Yeah, I thought he meant well, but, yeah, somebody, you know, you got to run those things by people sometimes and see how what they think. But anyway, that's another story. You mentioned real quick one more on T.J. Moore that perhaps UT would envision him more as a guard. Do you have any information on how South Carolina would view T.J. Moore? Did they talk about where he would fit specifically, or just that they would like him very much here and let's see where it goes?
Yeah, you know, I think he's probably a right tackle in South Carolina's scheme. I know from the very beginning, you know, they've talked to him about playing tackle. Now, you know, I think if you look at the kid on film, go watch him play in person, you know, he plays a lot of guard for Mallard Creek, and I've seen him play, I think, twice this year in person. And to me, he's one of those guys that, you know, you try at tackle and he definitely could be a tackle, but then you sort of always have that guard idea to fall back on. You know, in some ways, he actually reminds me a bit in stature of a Zach Bailey at the same time, and that T.J. Moore is one of these kids that, you know, a lot of offensive linemen at that age either are 270 pounds and you know you're going to have to add a bunch of weight to them, or are 330 pounds and you know you're going to have to drop bad weight and put good weight back on them. Much like Zach Bailey, T.J. Moore is a kid that just already has filled out into his frame and looks like a college-ready player. So, you know, when I first saw him in person, that's sort of who popped in my mind, is sort of that that build of a guy like Zach Bailey.
Talking to Wes Mitchell at Gamecock Central here on 107.5 The Game. Let's stay with offensive line recruiting. You and Chris talking on the website about Jerry Drake Jr., who has recently visited Norman and likes the Sooners a lot. Whereas maybe South Carolina had been out front, looks like there's been a little bit of a flip there. And from what you guys are telling us, Jerry's going to be making a decision here very soon. What's more, the latest intel there?
Yeah, South Carolina was behind the scenes the outright leader for Jerry Drake after he took his official visit. You know, he had told family members that, told other people that off the record, you know, that South Carolina was where he wanted to be. But, you know, as with anything, when guys keep taking visits and, you know, go out there with an open mind and you go to a program like Oklahoma and check it out, things can change. And right now, you know, South Carolina will keep working that. This is a staff that, you know, just doesn't really seem to give up. If they want a kid and he's high enough on the priority list, they'll make the decision difficult for him at the very least. You know, Matthew Butler, a defensive line prospect, just as an example, is a four-star kid that, you know, South Carolina had pretty much we had pretty much written South Carolina off with him, and now they've kept working it, and now they're sort of back in the mix as he closes in on decisions. So they'll keep working it. But, you know, the kid that I would pay attention to is Jordan Rhodes, who is from Fairburn, Georgia. He's an under-the-radar kid, and I know people tend to cringe when, you know, when you start talking about that. But this is a kid with a basketball background, has only played 1 year of high school football. But if you turn on the film, just is an outstanding football player, outstanding athlete, no matter how raw he is. You know, I would start to, if I'm a fan, I would actually start to get excited about Jordan Rhodes, regardless of his, you know, lack of stars by his name, because I think this is the type athlete that South Carolina needs to bring in to sort of continue to upgrade the athleticism on their offensive line.
Wes, let's talk about a local kid real quick and just what kind of impact it might have, and that's Jordan Adams, Deke's son, who is a big star for Blythewood High School, obviously a tremendous offensive talent, and I understand a tremendous baseball player as well, but he's going to leave Columbia and go be closer to his dad, which we should all respect. He and his mom had been living here because he liked where he was, but obviously Deke's at ECU now, so they'll be moving and all reunite up in Greenville. Is this a big deal in terms of where he's looking? And you know, where was South Carolina in the pecking order anyway? And let me remind folks, he's a junior right now, a 2018 prospect.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Jordan, first of all, Jordan Adams is a kid that sort of kept his recruitment a little bit on the down low as far as where, you know, where his head's at, what he's thinking. You know, I've sort of always gotten the impression that South Carolina was behind some other schools, namely maybe behind a South Carolina, behind a North Carolina, or behind a Clemson, I should say, and behind a North Carolina. You know, I think as far as his mindset goes, you know, he's a quarterback at Blythewood, but, you know, is more of an athlete, I think, as a college guy that's probably going to play wide receiver. And, you know, I think you look at what Clemson has done with their offense and with wide receivers, you know, that certainly makes sense for him to be very, very interested in them. So, yeah, I think that's more of what he would be expected to be like in college as far as position goes. You know, I actually saw him against Ridgeview earlier this year, and he actually reminds me a bit, just athletically, of another local kid in Lexington, former Gamecock, Shaq Rowland. I think just in the smoothness in which he operates, the way he can make guys miss in the open field, the fact that high school defenses just absolutely struggle to get a free shot on him to tackle him. Athletically, that's sort of who pops in my mind with Jordan Adams.
And, you know, you would think South Carolina would have to be an overwhelming favorite in his heart for South Carolina to even have a chance to get him after what happened with his dad's situation and, you know, leaving the university and things not going too well in that regard. So I don't know if I'd put him on the radar for South Carolina, but What about in the defensive secondary? What does South Carolina have as far as commitments and what they've got lined up for maybe some more in-home visits?
Yeah, you know, that's certainly a position that's been a big priority. Although, you know, to be frank, I mean, almost every position has sort of been a priority
no kidding.
For them
yeah.
in this class. But Jamias Williams, he's the headliner out of Georgia, one of the top probably 10 defensive backs in the country, depending on, you know, whose rankings you're going by. But he's a kid that will come in, play right away. You know, I don't think there's any question about that. He's a cornerback, nickel, could play some safety. I actually think he's probably the best fit as a nickel back, sort of that guy you want to match up on that smaller slot receiver and has the quickness to match up with them versus a guy you want. He's not the tallest corner, so you don't maybe want him matched up with some of these 6'3", 6'4", guys you'll see in this league. But I think as far as that position, the guy that maybe gets overlooked just because he's sort of a mid-3-star guy is Jalen Dickerson. He's a kid out of a North Carolina safety prospect that Muschamp and T-Rob personally worked out this summer, sort of fell in love with him. And, you know, I think if you're looking for a guy who's also going to have a chance to come in and play right away, he's an early enrollee. You know, Hamza Nasruldeen is a 4-star kid that, you know, everybody talks about, and rightfully so. He's an outstanding athlete, has a huge future. But I think as far as just being physically ready to play, Jalen Dickerson is absolutely a name that people need to probably start to think about for next year. And then they're still chasing Keyshawn Nixon, who's a JUCO cornerback. Caleb Chalmers, who's a JUCO cornerback. I say cornerback, they could play corner or safety, either one. You know, that's a priority for them to try to get both of those JUCO guys in here because, you know, obviously the secondary is a position that they not only have needed to add guys who can just play, but they've needed to add depth to that position because they were just razor thin this year. And obviously they graduate a number of safeties after this season as well.
Wes, last thing for you. Let's talk about some of the current issues. Just most notably, your thoughts on a question that's kind of floating out there for a bunch of us that cover this football team, and that is how much impact does Willie Taggart leaving South Florida for Oregon have on his team's preparation for South Carolina? What are your thoughts on that specific question?
Yeah, you know, I think you have to say it's going to have some type of effect. You know, this is a guy who whose program has jumped up in win total, you know, every single year he's been at South Florida. He's been very, very good there. It's obvious there's a reason Oregon wants him. And, you know, we don't know yet, I guess, what their interim situation is going to completely look like and who he may take with him to Oregon. And, you know, all that stuff will be sorted out. But I think this is a distraction for this team. You know, this is a situation where they basically won't have all hands on deck, which I know that South Florida – you know, is actually a fairly sizable favorite in this matchup. But, you know, if you're South Carolina, anything that can help, you know, you're a fan of that idea. And I think that, you know, as far as him leaving, it's certainly something that could help South Carolina on the offensive side or South Carolina's defense against South Florida's offense, because, you know, that offense is something that's been a well-oiled machine for South Florida all season long. So anytime you sort of take out that offensive mind, and just create a distraction for a team, you know, I think it certainly helps South Carolina. And as far as the matchup goes, as bad of a matchup as I think this is, South Carolina's defense against another potent spread offensive system, if, you know, the more you look at South Florida's defense, you sort of feel like this is a team South Carolina's offense can move the football with, can run the ball, can stay on the field a bit. And to me, that's been the difference, you know. Even when they've faced high-powered offenses, if they've been able to have a little bit of success on offense, they've sort of been able to stay in ball games. So I more and more I look at this matchup, my initial thought was, you know, wow, it's a terrible matchup for South Carolina. The more I look at it, the more I think it's a game where South Carolina can sort of manage it and stay in there.
So basically, Wes Mitchell is saying it's going to be like 49-45. No, I'm just kidding. we'll see where it goes next. Wes, good stuff as always, man, especially on the recruiting front. You and Chris do a great job there. Keep it going, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You bet. Thank you, Wes Mitchell of Gamecock Central. Wes Mitchell GC to get him on Twitter. And again, GamecockCentral.com. More headlines of the day from Tommy and me right after this.